Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Nedarim Daf Samaches. We left off on the top of Daf Samaches, Amud Aleph. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer, in honor of his wife and children, Leila Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bas Simcha, Aleha Shalom. It's also sponsored by Yael and Yosef Gervich, in appreciation of their children's Rebbeim and Marot. And it's also sponsored by Richard Lipchinsky, as his chus for his father's Neshama, Shalom Ben Avram Mordechai, whose yahrzeit is Thursday, Yud Beis Teves, and also for Shlema, from Menachem Mendel ben Devorah Leah. We thank all of the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So essentially what we're going to do today is, yesterday we started to discuss the basis for the halacha in the Mishnah, the one halacha that appeared explicitly in the Mishnah, that when you have a Nara Amrasa, Avia Ubaila Mefirin Nidareha. So yesterday we gave one possible source for the idea that both the father and the husband have to team up in order to do the Afaras Nidarim of a Nara Amrasa. Today we're going to give a second possible source for the idea that Avio Bailam Mefirin Nidareha, and then the Gemara is going to discuss what each Shita does with the other one's source. What do you do with the Pasuk that's mentioned by the other person? Then the Gemara is going to discuss what happens if only the Baal is made for the Neder and the father has not been made for the Neder. Is the Neder fully intact? That's not even a possibility. The Gemara discusses something happens to the Neder. The Neder is affected in some way by the Hafaras HaBaal, even without the Afaras Ha'av, but the question is, in what way? What happens exactly to that neder? So the Gemara is going to raise this question, is it Megas Gayas or Miklish Kalish? We'll have to see what that means. Essentially it means, is there a quantitative effect or a qualitative effect on the neder? Is it weakened quantitatively or qualitatively? So the Gemara is going to try to answer that question by bringing a brisa that brings five different situations of either the husband or the father dying, and how they proceed with Afaras Nedarim, or whether they can proceed with Afaras Nedarim if the husband or father dies under a variety of different circumstances. That brisa is going to have, again, five different situations, and through the discussion of that brisa, we're ultimately going to come to a resolution of this question of how the neder is affected when only the Baal is mefer and the Av is not mefer. And it's going to ultimately turn out to be a machlokas tanaim, a machlokas between the Beis Shammai and the Beis Hillel. So that's the overview of what we're going to see today. So let's begin at the top of Daf Samaches Amud Aleph. So we saw yesterday already that there is one possibility, we learned one possibility of where we know that Avia Ubaila Mefirin Nedareha. So now the Gemara is going to tell us a second possibility. Debei Rabbi Yishmael Tana, the Tana Debei Rabbi Yishmael derives it from the Pasuk Bein Ish Liishto. The Pasuk says Bein Ish Liishto, Bein Av Libito. And from that Pasuk we see Mikan Lenam Rasa Shavio Baila Mefirin Nidareha. So the pasuk goes, the entire pasuk is Ela Hachukim Asher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe Bein Ish Liishto Bein Av Libito Binu'ureha Beis Aviha. So that phrase, Binu'ureha Beis Aviha, it may be a very critical part of this limud, that the Gemara is assuming the pasuk must be talking about a Nara Amurasa. How do I know it's talking about a Nara Amurasa? Because it says Binu'ureha Beis Aviha. That's how the Ran understands that's the giveaway that we're talking about in Naram Rasa. And from the fact that there's a juxtaposition of the phrase Bein Ish Liishto and Av Libito, so you see that in Amarasa of Yehobayla Mefir Nidareha, that it's Ish Vishto and Av Libito, both of those relationships are critical in Naram Rasa in being Mefir Nidarin. That is how the Ran reads this line of Gemara. Many of the Rishonim understand differently than the Ran in terms of how do I know specifically that it's talking about a Naram Rasa. Shita Kubetzes quotes from the Ritz that Benu Ure goes on Bein Ish Liishto as well, and therefore it must be talking about an Arusa, because by a Nesua the husband is made for the Nedarim even if she's a Bogera. So why would we highlight that it's Dafka Binu Ureha that there's a Bein Ish Liishto? So it must be that we're talking about an Arusa, and therefore we know that it's a Nara Hamurasa. Other Rishonim understand that it's Mashma, that it's talking talking about one woman that has two Rishuyos on her. There's Rishus Avia and Rishus Baila. And the only person that has both two Rishuyos, both a Rishus Avia and a Rishus Baila on her, is an Arusa. And so that's how we know that it must be talking about a Nara Hamurasa. So bottom line is, that is the Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel. That is the second approach to how we know that that a Nara Hamurasa Avia or Baila Mifirin Nidarasa. Asks the Gemara the obvious question now. Ulatana Debei Rabbi Shmuel, Imayosi Eliish, Mayavada. Yesterday we had a limud from Imayosi Eliish to teach us that Avia or Baila Mifirin Nidarasa. Remember, the whole daf yesterday was about figuring out that Hayosiya must be talking about an Arusa and not a Nesua, and we derived from that pasuk, from the fact that the pasuk itself says that the Baal is made for the Neder, and the Vav that's mechabered to the previous pasuk, which teaches that the Av is made for the Neder, that that was the source that a Baal and an Av team up together to be made for the Neder of an Arum Rasa. Good, but if you're going to say like Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel that the limud is from Beinish Lishto Beinav Lebito, what are you going to do with the Mahayosi Eliish? So answers the Gemara, Mukim Liidach the Rava. We use the Mahayosi Eliish to tell me a different din that Rava taught from that same pasuk. What is that din that Rava taught from the same pasuk? So the Rishonim fill us in over here. As always, the Ran fills us in that there is, we're going to see in a couple of days from now, there is a Mishnah on Daf Ayin Amud Aleph, that if the husband dies, Nisrokna Rishus Li'av, then the father gets the Rishus after the husband dies. Let's say they only have Erisin, they never had Nisuin. So, and then the husband dies, the father now has the sole rights to be made for the Nidarim. So Rava tells us that the Makar of that din is from the fact that it says, Imayosi Yel Li'ish, that there's Shtei Havayos, Hayosi Yel. So we darshin that we could be talking about a girl that has Erisin twice, that there's Erisin Arishonim, then the husband dies, and then the second time she has Erisin, and we're makish the Erisin Shniim to the Erisin Rishonim, that just like in the original Erisin prior to that Erisin, the father had the sole rights to be made for the Neder, so too with Erisin Shniim, with the second Erisin that she had prior to that second Erisin, the father had the sole rights to be made for the Nedarim, but prior to the second Erisin means post the first Erisin. So you see, if she had an Erisin and then the husband died, that the father has the rights to be made for the Nedarim. So that's what the Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel is going to use Im Hayosi Yel Ish to teach us. That's the limud from Im Hayosi Leish. Rava darshins from Im Hayosi, meaning Rava, who was the one that darshin that Avio and Ubaila Mefir and Nedarim from Im Hayosi, will say, yeah, I learned both things from Im Hayosi, that the Iker Pasuk is coming to tell me that the Narim Rasa Avi Lubayla Mefir Nidareha, and the two Havayos that it says, Hayosi, the double expression of Havaya, is there to teach me that we're Makish, Havaya Rishona to Havaya Shnia to Havaya Rishona, that just like Havaya Rishona, the Nidarim that predated the first Erisin were completely in the jurisdiction of the father, so too Havaya Shnia, the Nidarim, are completely in the jurisdiction of the father. The Nidarim prior to Havaya Shnia were completely in the jurisdiction of the father. So now the Gemara flips it. Okay, now you told me what Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel does with Rava's pasuk, but Virava hide the Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel my Avodai. What does Rava do with the pasuk of Beinish Leishto Bein Av Lebito? What's he going to darshin from this pasuk if he doesn't need it to darshin that Avio Baila Mefirin Nidareha? So the Gemara answers me Baile Lomar Shabal Mefir Nidarim Shabeino Levena. He uses this pasuk to tell me that a Baal, a husband, could be made for only those Nidarim that are Beino Levena. We paskin that a Baal is made for the Ishto only Nidarim that involve Inui Nefesh and Dvarim Shebeino Levena. What's an example of Inui Nefesh? She takes a Neder from Achila or Shtia or something like that. How do I know that the Baal could be made for Nidarim of Inui Nefesh? Because the Pasuk says Kol Neder V'chol Shvuas Iser La'anos Nefesh Isha Yikimenu V'Isha Yefirenu, that her husband could be made for a Neder of La'anos Nefesh, of Inui Nefesh, but nedarim that don't involve inoy nefesh are not within the rights of the Baal to be mefer. So this pasuk Beinish Lishto tells me that it's not only inoy nefesh. There's another category, and that is dvarim shebeino leveino. What are dvarim shebeino leveino? She takes a neder not to have tashmish with him, so he can be mefer even though it doesn't involve inoy nefesh. It involves dvarim shebeino lebeino. The Tandemir of Shmuel will darshan both of these dinim from Bein Ish L'Ishto, the din of Hafar Sa'av and the din of Hafar Sa'av Bin Arum Rasa and the din of Dvarim Shebeino Lebeina. So we had said that the husband, from the pasuk we see that a husband can only darshin, from the direct words of the pasuk we see that a husband can only be made for nedarim that relate to inoy nefesh. And then the extra limud from the pasuk is that it also includes dvarim shebeino levena. That's true of a husband. Do those same limitations apply to a father? Can a father just be made for any of his daughter's nedarim, or is it also only Dvarim Shel Inoy Nefesh? So there is no Dvarim Shel Ben Aleveinah when it comes to the father, but there is matters of Inoy Nefesh. So the Rishonim point out, the Ran, Tosos, Rash, Rashba, they all point out, Hu Hadin La'av, even a single girl, that's the father when he wants to be made for his daughters in the Dvarim, from the fact that it says, Bein Ish Li'ishto, Bein Av Lebito, we're Makish Av Lebal, as far as this is concerned as well, that just like a Baal is only made for the Dvarim that involve Inoy Nefesh, so to an Av is only made for nedarim that involve inoy nefesh. And this is based on Yerushalmi that says this way explicitly. There's a Sefri that says this way explicitly. And that's what the Rishonim point out, that we have other divrei chazal that say that even though it only talks about isha, isha yikimenu v'isha yiferenu, that it's about the husband, but the hekesh of Baal Ta'av teaches us that the same limitation is true to the father as well. However, the Rambam in the 12th paragraph of Hilchos Nedarim writes that the father could be made for all of the Nedarim, not only Nedarim of Inoy Nefesh. So you do have this machlokas Rishonim, whether a father could be made for all Nedarim or only Nedarim of Inoy Nefesh, but certainly the Baal can only be made for Nedarim of Inoy Nefesh, and then on top of that also Nedarim Shebeino Leveina. So now the Gemara says, now that we've settled that issue, we know we have two opinions as to where we derive that Aviya Ubaila, Mefirin Nedareha. We know what each one does with the other one's pasuk. So now that we've settled that issue, so we know that the only way to be totally Mevatel the Neder of a Narim Rasa is by getting both the father and the husband to be Mefer the Neder together. But nevertheless, what if one of them is Mefer without the other one being Mefer? What if the husband is Mefer the Neder without the father being made for the nether? Is there any effect on the nether? There is a discussion in the Rishonim if the hafara of one of them has an impact in all circumstances, or only kolzman, that there's still hope that the other one will join. Meaning this whole discussion that if only the husband is mefer, so what impact does it have on the neder? Some of the Rishonim say that's only a question if it's still that same day and the father still might be mefer. But if it's already the next day and the father wasn't mefer, the father was ready mekayim, so then it's pashut that there's no effect from the Afar Sabal, whereas other Rishonim say, no, the Gemara is about to ask, if the husband is Mefer, does that alone have an impact? Regardless of what the father does, just the husband being Mefer. So Yibayiluhu, Baal Mekas Gaius or Miklash Kalish. It's interesting, the Gemara never entertains the third possibility, that when the husband is Mefer without the father, nothing happens, that it's zero. The Gemara just assumes something must happen. It's either Megas Gaius, either the Neder is shaved down, meaning half of the Neder becomes Batel, and then when the father comes along and is Mefer, he's Mevatel the other half, or the entirety of the Neder is weakened. It's not that it's cut in half, but the entirety of the Neder is weakened, and then once it's weakened, then the father could come along and finish it off, meaning it's like, you know, the person that loosens the bottle cap before someone else comes along and then finishes it off. They always claim they loosened it. They probably didn't really. But, you know, so is it that it's a quantitative thing or a qualitative thing that happens when the husband is made for the Neder without the father? The Gemara never discusses, and what if the father is made for the Neder without the husband? It only discusses if the husband is made for the neder without the father. So the Ran, the Tosos, the Rosh, the Rabbi Avram and Ahar in the name of Rashi, the Rashba, the Meiri, all of these Rishonim say, obviously, who adin? Meaning if we're talking about you need two people to be made for the Narum Rasa's neder, and we're asking, what happens when only the Baal is made for? So obviously, the same, whatever happens when only the Baal is made for is exactly what would happen when only the Av is made for. It's obviously the same din. That's how most of the Rishonim learn. However, the Shita Mukbetzas quotes a Re'em that the Gemara never raises the suffix about an Av, because by Av, it's Pshita that it's Megas Gaius. Meaning of these two possibilities, whether it's Miklash Kalish, Megas Gaius, or Miklash Kalish, by a father, it's Pashut that he's just cutting the Neder in half. That it's not that he's weakening it, that he's trimming the Neder. Karen Ora points out that there's another possibility, that the Gemara didn't raise the question about the Av, because it could be that when a father is made for the Neder without the husband, it does nothing. It's not Megas Gaius, and it's not Miklash Kalish. So when all the dust settles, why does the Gemara not raise the question about an Av? Three possibilities. One possibility is what Rov Rishonim say, is that it's obvious that it's the same thing. Whatever you're going to say about the husband, you're going to say about the Av as well. A second possibility is, no, it's obvious that by the Av, there's no Shaila, because it's only going to be Megas Guzzes. And the third possibility is that it doesn't raise the question about the Av, because the Av has zero impact if he tries to be Mefer without the husband. Only the husband is going to have an impact when he's Mefer without the Av. But this is the Gemara Shaila. Does it have a quantitative or qualitative impact on the neder? So hecha kami bayilan, what would be a practical nafkamina between these two cases? Either way, the neder is still there when only the baal is mefer, and when the father comes in is also mefer, the neder disappears. So lemay nafkamina, whether the husband just weakened it for the father to, you know, give the knockout blow, or whether the husband had trimmed it in half, had trimmed the neder in half. So says Gemara, nafkamina is kigon de nadra mitrein zaysin. A woman took a neder from two olives. She said, I'm not going to eat these two olives. Each olive, we're going to assume, has a shear kizayis. Good assumption, right? So she takes a neder from two olives. Shama arus vehefala. And the arus, the husband, heard about the neder, and he was made for the neder boba yom, right then, properly, as he was supposed to. But the father has not yet weighed in on it. And then, va'achaltimun. And then she went and she ate both olives. So what's the halacha? Does she get malchus or not? Iamrinan megas gaius, if you're going to say that the aris chopped down the neder in half, so lakia, she gets malchus for the achila, because since the aris was only mevatel half of the neder, and the other half remains intact and has not been weakened, a kihuzeh, so it turns out from half of that which she ate was totally mutter, and the other half of that which she ate was totally asir. So she's going to get malchus because she ate a kazayis of real legitimate iser. So she can get malchus because the half of what she ate is in fact a sheer kazayis. But Iamrina, and if you're going to say that when the aris is made for the neder alone, it's miklash kalish, it weakens the entirety of the neder, the whole chomer haneder is weakened, so yisur bialmahu. So then it's just an issue that she did of shnei zesim, but not something you'd get malchus for, because by the hafaras habal, he's weakened the neder and taken it down to something for which you would not get malchus. So the Gemara raises the question, what is the din in this case? So the Ran points out that it's dafka if she ate both olives, but if she ate only one of the olives, then she would not get malchus, because we don't know which one of the olives was hutar and which one was asr. Meaning, if she took a neder from two olives, and you're going to assume megas gazes, that the husband has the ability to cut the neder in half with his hafara. Yeah, but which half? I don't know if it was olive one or olive two. So therefore, if she eats only one of the olives, she may have done a violation of the neder with a full shear, or she may have done nothing. That's the way the Ran understands that it's going to be when we say megas gaz, it's going to be one olive or the other. Shalmei Nedarim points out that if you really understand it that way, then if she eats both olives but not bebasachas, she also can't get malchus. Because each one, how are you going to give hasra? It's hasra suffix on each one. Someone's going to come and tell her, you can't eat that olive. If you eat that olive, you're going to be chayiv malchus. Do you know that for sure? No, maybe not. Maybe this is the olive that had become mutter through the Afar Sabal. Then they're going to come and give her asra about the second olive. You can't eat that or even b'chayv mal. You don't know that for sure. And therefore, it's always going to be asra safik. That's the way the Ran understands. I'm not sure why the Ran understands the way he does, though. The Rashba and the Meiri write that the reason you don't get malchus when it's zayis echad is because the iser is mu'urav b'shnehem b'shaveh. That the iser is equally dispersed in both of them. It's meaning it is quantitative, but it's like every molecule of the olive is split in half and is half iser, half heter. So it's not that one of these olives is totally mutter and the other one is totally aser. Now, when the husband is made for the neder, it's just half of the quantity of whatever you eat is going to be fully aser. The shear of the Isra Achila generally is b'kazayis, and that's why the Gemara is assuming the shear of Onshin is generally kazayis. When it comes to Isra Achila, that's why the Gemara is assuming as long as she eats a kazayis of a violation of her neder, that she's in fact going to be chayav malchus. The Ran points out, though, that the Rishonim ask that the Gemara Masechet Shavuos tells us that in the name of Rav Papa, that you're loka ala konamos even b'kol shehu. That dafka when it comes to Isra Achilas Nevela and Trefa and all these things. So yeah, there's an Isra Achila b'kazayis, and when you have a mitzvah sachila by Karban Pesach, whatever, there's a mitzvah sachila b'kazayis by matzah, there's a mitzvah sachila b'kazayis. But when it comes to Nidarim, afilu b'kolshu. When it comes to konamos, even b'kolshu is an iser. So if that's the case, then why does the Gemara have to say that the suffix is that she ate shnei zesim? If it's megas gaius, it's malchus, even if she ate kolshu, it's megas. They just say that it's one zayis. So there are several answers offered by the Rishonim. The Ran suggests that the Gemara says the reason the Gemara gives an example of shnei zesim is it doesn't want to be nichnas into the machlokas amoraim. Because yes, it's true that Rav Papa says by konamos the shear is b'kolshu, but there are other amoraim in the sugi and Shavuos over there to say no, the shear is kazayis by konamos, just like it is in every other area of halacha. So rather than get involved in a machloka samarayim, so it just says something that everyone will agree to, that if it was shnei zesim and she ate both zesim after the afaras habal, so everyone would agree that would chapa nafkamina. Another teretz the Ran says is that everyone would agree there's no korban mi'ila if a person was over the neder with less than a kazayis. So the Gemara wanted to bring up the case of where the nafkamina is not only going to be about malchus, but it's also going to be about the korban. When it says lucky, it doesn't even mean malchus necessarily. It means loka b'korban. It means that we punish him by bringing a korban. And Kiveger in the Galina Shas wonders because he says the shir mi'ila is bepruta, it's not b'kazayis. So it doesn't make sense that the korban would be subject to a shir kazayis, but that's the second answer of the Ran. Third answer the Ran gives is when the Gemara says kigon dinadra, it's lav dafka. The kavana means nishba as well, because the shvu is b'chal neder, and b'shvu the divrei kol you need a kazayis. Meaning that even though there is a sheet of Rav Papa Masech Shavuos that by a neder the shir is b'chal shvu, by a shvu everyone agrees the shir is b'kazayis. So we'd rather give a nafkamina that works for a shvu as well. And then the fourth answer the Rush suggests, not in the Ran, but the Rush suggests that the Gemara picks an example of Shnei Zesim, because by Neder Stam, you only get Malkus on Kazayis. It's only if you know the Beferish to not even eat a mashu that you get a malchus on the mashu. Meaning, yes, Rav Papa has this chiddush that by nedarim you get malchus on the mashu, but that's only if the neder was not to eat a mashu. But if the not to eat a filu mashu, but if you just took a neder stam not to eat, so achila it's defined as kazayis. So we assume that that's going to be the malchus on the neder is only going to be the kazayis. So anyway, so that's the Gemara's question: is when the husband is mefer without the father, is it megas gayis or is it miklash kal? And the nafkamina is if you have a woman took a neder from exactly two kazesim, the husband was made for the neder, the father was not, and she then eats the two kazesim. Does she get malchus or not? There's an interesting discussion in Tshuvas Nadi Yehuda. He says, you know, what would happen? We know Chatzi Shir is Asa Min HaTorah, right? But you don't get Malchus in it. So why is Chatzi Shir Asa Min HaTorah? So the Gemara says, because it's Chazi Litztarufei. Meaning, I'm only going to eat a Chatzi Shir of Chametz, let's say, on Pesach. Yeah, but a second later, I might finish up and eat the full shear. So since it's Chazi L'Tarufei, that Chatzi Shear could be the beginning of the full shear. That's why it's Nisidoraisis. Now, the Buddha says, what would happen if you ate a Chatzi Shear in a way that you couldn't eat the full shear? He says, what if, let's imagine, it takes, 2 minutes to eat a kazayis of chametz on Pesach. and 1 minute before the end of Pesach, you start eating chametz. So you know that you don't have time to eat a full kazayis. You're only going to be able to eat a half a kazayis. It's not chazil, it's terufe. So the Nadav Yehuda writes in the Tshuva, in Madura Tinyana, or Chaim, Simen Nun Gimel, that whenever you have an Isra Toli Bezman, like Chametz BePesach, if you eat a chatzi shir at the end of the seventh day of Pesach, where there's not time to eat anymore, it's not chazil, it's terufe, and Memela, there's no Isra. So in the Tshuva's Pris Yaakov, quoted over here in the back of the Masif, in the Panini Halacha section, he rejects this Nadav Yehuda, and brings a raya from our Gemara. He says, because what did the Gemara come up with? The Gemara came up with an example of Nadra Mitrein Zaysin. She took a Nadra from two olives. Why not say Nafkamina is because Zayis Echad, that if you say Megas Gayis, so the Chatzi Zayis that remains is all that remains from the Yisr Nadar, and therefore she can eat it, because it's not Chazil Tzarufe, because it's not, the whole Nadra is only on one Zayis. So once the husband has been made for, if you hold megas gazes, then you're only left with a chatzi zayis. You have nothing more than a chatzi zayis. So it's not chazi l'starufe to anything else, because you can't be mitzar if it's some other neder, right? So then, so why didn't the Gemara come up with that nafkamina? Elamai, we say the chatzi shir is asum in haTorah, even when it's not chazi l'starufe, even if it's a situation. If I could just ask everyone to mute, we're getting some feedback. I can't see who it is that we're getting feedback from, but we're getting feedback. Even if it's not Chazil Litzarufe, you see that it's still going to be an Isser of Chatzi Shir Asa Min HaTorah. Okay, but anyway, back in the Gemara. So the Gemara is this one Shaila. The husband is Mefer, and the father was not Mefer. What impact, if any, does that have on the Neder? So the Gemara is going to bring one Raya and close the case, but it's going to already bring us into tomorrow's Daf to do that. The Raya is from a Braisa. Tashema, we have a Mishnah later on that in Nar Murasa, Avia Baila Mefirin Nidareha, but what if the father dies? So the Mishnah is going to tell us Lo Nisrokna Rishus Labal. Then the Rishus to be made for does not go entirely to the husband, and simply that if the father dies, then there is no Hafara for her Neder, because the Arus can't be made for the Neder without the Shutfus of the father. However, if the husband dies, Nisrokna Rishus La'av, the rights to the Afaras Nedarim transfer to the father, and he could be made for not only his chelik of the neder, but the husband's chelik of the neder as well. So the Braisa details five cases where we discuss whether in the absence of one of them, the other one now has full rights to be made for the neder, or we just say, no, there's nothing you could do about it, we're stuck. So case number one, Emasai Amru, when do we say, Meis Habal Nisrokna Rishus La'av, that if the husband dies, then the father has the full rights to be made for the neder? In the following situations, Bizman Shalosh Shama Habal Kodem Sheyamus. One case is the husband never even heard about the neder before he died. He dropped dead. A woman took a neder at 9 o'clock in the morning. 9:01, the husband dropped dead. He didn't even have time to hear about it. Didn't know that she had taken a neder. Oh, Shashama Vishasak. Or maybe the husband did hear about the neder, but didn't do anything. He wasn't Mekayim the neder. He wasn't Mefer the neder. And then he died that very same day. Oh, Shashama Vehefer. Or the husband heard about the neder and was then made for the neder, umeis bobayom, and then he died that very day. So zui shashaninu, it's in those cases that we say, meis habal nisrokna rishus la'av. If the husband didn't do anything to be mekayim the neder, he either didn't hear about it, he ignored it, or he was made for it, and then the husband drops dead, so now the father has the sole rights to be made for that neder. That is case number one. Case number two, still in case number one, aval mshama v'kiyem, if the husband heard about the neder, and he was mekayim the neder, oshama v'shasak umeis biyom shalachrav, or he heard about the neder, didn't do anything, but survived till the end of the day without doing anything, which is the equivalent of being mekayim the neder, then ein yachal hafer, then the father does not have the right to be made for the neder after the husband dies, because the neder was already mekuyam. If the neder is already mekuyam by the husband before he died, so then the father can't do anything about it, just like the father can't do anything if the husband's alive and he was ready Mekayim the Neder. So if the husband managed to be Mekayim the Neder while he was alive, so the fact that he subsequently died doesn't change anything. The father doesn't have the right, does not have the right to be made for the Neder. So that's case one. Case two, where we say that the Rishus is not Nisrokan Labal, where when the father dies, we're not going to transfer the rights to be made for the Neder to the husband. Shama of if the father heard about the neder, veheferla, and he was made for the neder, v'lo hispik bal lishmoa ad shemes ha'av, the husband hadn't heard about the neder until after the father had died. So the husband couldn't be made for b'shutfus with the father because the husband didn't know about it while the father was still alive. Had he known about it, maybe he would have been made for it also, but he didn't. Now the father dropped dead. Zui shashaninu, that's what the Mishnah means when it says, meis ha'av lo nisrokna rishus labal. That if the av dies, the rishus does not get transferred over to the husband. The husband cannot be made for the neder on his own. The Rosh says, well, why do I even need the nisrokin rishus ha'av labal? The case was, the father was ready made for his chelek. No? We said, what's the case? The woman took the neder at 9 a.m. 9:05, the father had already heard about it and was made for his chelek. 9:10, the father drops dead. Sometime later that day, the husband, all he's got left is his chelek. So let him be made for his chelek. What do you mean, lo nisrokin? He doesn't need the father's chelek. Why don't we just say, let the husband be made for his chelek? So the Rosh raises this question, and the Rosh suggests that since the Hafaras Ha'av was not completed during the lifetime of the father, and it's not completed because it can't be completed unless the husband joins him. This has to be a joint effort. It's got to be done b'shutfus. And it was not completed during the lifetime of the father. It becomes batel upon his death. When the father was made for 9:05 that morning, when he dropped dead at 9:10, his hafara became batel because his hafara was never completed. So since the arus is not zocha in the chelik of the father to be made for it, so that chelik now no longer has any hafara. And that's how the Ran understands, and that's how the Rashba understands. The Ritva, the Nemuka Yosef, seem to understand a little differently, that it's not that the hafara sa'av is batel b'misaso. The husband is not able to be made for his chelik alone after the father dies. Means it's not talking about the chelik of the father. Beinkach, the father was already made for his chelik. It means that lo nisrokna lebal, the rishus that the father had in the chelik of the bal to be ma'akev his hafara until he's made for together with him. And since the father died, his hafara cannot be mitstarif with the hafara sabal. So it doesn't mean that the father's hafara is not there and that he needs the rights to the father's hafara. It means that there's a lack of tziruf. And if there's a lack of tziruf, then the Baal Safar is going to be meaningless. That's what lo nisrokna rishus l'baal means. It doesn't mean that in order for the Baal to be made for, he would need to do the father's part also, and he doesn't have bailus over the father's part. No, the father's part's already been taken care of. The problem is that you need a tziruf, and he's not able to be mitzarif with the father. Okay, whatever the mechanics of it are, so that's the machlokes rishonim, exactly what the mechanics of it are, but the bottom line is, if the father was made for, the father dropped dead, and only then the husband heard about it, the husband cannot be made for the neder. Third example, Shama Baila Vahafirla. Let's say the husband heard about the neder and he was made for the neder right away. Velo hispika avlishma shemes habal. The father only heard about it after the husband had already died. Zui shashaninu mesabal nisrokin rishus la'av. That's an example of mesabal nisrokin rishus la'av. That even though the hafaras habal became batel, let's say the way the Ran understood, became batel when he died, the father has the rights, has the full rights to be made for the neder. The husband's chelik of the neder is transferred over to the father. This sounds very similar to the first example that we gave, right? The first case that we gave was that the husband heard about it and was mefer and then died that very same day, right? So isn't that exactly what we're saying right now? Shama Bailev the Hefirla, and the father only heard about it after the husband died. So what are we adding over here? So the Ran points out that even though the father only heard about it after the husband had died, he wasn't zocha in the neder, in the chaye ha'arus. He never had any connection to the neder while the arus was alive, and the arus weakened the neder a lot. So all there is just a little bit left. We don't say that little bit that remains from the chelik of the husband can't be morish it to the av, because you can only be morish a full right of the neder. It's got to be a davar shel chashivos that the husband could be morish to the av. But once the husband weakened the neder, you might think that you can't be morish such a tiny chelik of the neder to the father. Okay, whatever the chiddush is, but that's the third situation. Fourth situation, Shama Baila, the Hafirla, husband heard about the neder and he was made for the neder. V'lo hispik ha'av l'shma atshemes. And the father died before he ever heard about the neder. Se'ein abal yachol lahafer. The husband cannot be mefer the chelik of the father. She'ein abal mefer el b'shutafus. Because the husband can only be mefer with a shutfus together with the father. The husband cannot be mefer all alone. And then a fifth case. I know we're going into tomorrow's daf, and tomorrow's daf is not terribly long, but this is the only way to do it, just to finish this discussion. The fifth case, Shama Aviyah Vehefala, the father heard about the neder, and he was made for the neder, Velo Hispik Habal Lishmoa Ad Shemes, and the husband didn't hear about it, the husband dropped dead before he ever heard about the neder. So the father could go back and now be made for the chelik of the husband as well, and the father has full rights to it. So now that's the five cases of the Braisa. Now the Braisa concludes with Amar Rabbi Nasan. All of these different cases that we just mentioned, hein divrei beis shammai. That's beis shammai. But beis hillel omrim ein yachol lahafer, particularly in the last case, beis hillel would hold the father cannot be made for the chelik of the husband after he dies, because there is no din of nisrok no reshus li'av unless it's a neder gomor that had not already been weakened. So since the father had already been mefer b'chayei habal, and he had weakened the entirety of the neder, meaning that's what we're assuming, that when the father was mefer while the husband was alive, he was mefer the neder, he had weakened the entirety of the neder, not that he had cut it in half, he had weakened the entirety of the neder, so when the husband dies, the neder is now not considered chashuv enough to be morishit to the husband's chelek to the father. It's too weak to be morishit to the father. But Beis Shammai holds that the Afaras Ha'av did not weaken the neder entirely. It would only cut it in half. It was Megas Gaius. It cut the neder in half, while the part that was Bereshus Ha'av, but the part that was Bereshus Ha'bal remains untouched and unscathed. And therefore, when the Baal dies, he could be morish that to the father, because it's the full rights of the Baal in the Afaras Ha'neder. So that remains unscathed. So that's a Chatzi Neder that can pass on from the Av to the Av, says the Gemara. Oh, so that's the Braisa? If that's the Braisa, we see what the answer to our question is. If the question was, when a husband is mefer without the father, what happens? Is it Megas Gaius, or is it Miklash Kalish, Shmamina Lebeis Shammai Megas Gaius? We see from this Braisa that according to Beis Shammai, when the Baal is mefer, it's Megas Gaius, it chops the neder in half, and half of the neder is Mufur Lagamri, and the other half remains fully intact, even as far as Malkus is concerned. And the Beis Hillel, Miklash Kalish. And according to the Beis Hillel, through the Hafara, the Baal is weakening the Neder, the entirety of the Neder, and therefore there's no Chelik of the Neder that remains fully intact, that remains at its full strength. And therefore, Shema Mina, that it's in fact a Machlokas between the Beis Shammai and the Beis Hillel. Presumably we pass like the Beis Hillel, that would be Miklash Kalish. And if it's Miklash Kalish, that means, going back to our case of the woman who took a Neder from Shnei Zeis, him, and then the Baal was made for the neder, and the Av was not made for the neder, and then she ate Shnei Zeisim, so the halacha would be that she would not get Malkus, because yes, she violated Shnei Zeisim, not a Kazayi Sechel of Isser, she violated Shnei Zeisim worth of Isser, but of a very, very Shvacha Isser, of an Isser that does not carry with it a Chi of Malkus. So we're ready several lines into the page on Daf Shamachtas and Al Bezram. Tomorrow we'll pick up with Ba'i Rava. Everyone have a wonderful day. What time tomorrow? Tomorrow we're on holiday. Sunday schedule. Okay.
So, okay, good.
7:50-ish. Yeah. Okay. Have a good day.
Okay.
Shut off. Hi. Shut off.